Shalom to the true bride of Christ worldwide. Shalom to the lovers of truth also worldwide. I'm Pastor Moses Alu, the overseer of the Bride Assembly Church in Lagos. I am also a teacher of the Word of God. Brethren, according to God's divine agenda, we all know that we are now in the season of the manifestation of the virgins of this age. The Lord Jesus Christ, in a parable of the virgins in Matthew 25 from verse 1, if we read it through, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2 says, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. That's where the emphasis is, the wise and the foolish virgins. The difference between the wise and the foolish ones is from verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. After all came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We are all expecting the coming of the Lord. Definitely, this age shall produce both the wise and the foolish virgins. We shall be manifested by their response to the shout message that's delivered to us in this age. The shout message is the scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Concerning the coming of the Lord, it starts with a shout. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ refers to as the midnight cry. The fan in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 3 verse 12 is now blowing to purge his flock and separate the wheat from the chaff in this age. For according to Matthew 13 verse 30, the wheat and the tares are now maturing and it will soon be time for the separation. Heresies are abounding everywhere now for those approved to be made manifest. But remember, approval comes only when tested against the absolute word of God, the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, remember the Bible says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, verse 2 says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Also in Matthew 24 and verse 45, if we read it through to verse 51, he said, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? And he's talking about the fivefold ministry. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkard, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. I believe, brethren, as also a servant of God to serve the meat in this season of perfection, under the harvesting rain known as the latter rain of James 5:8. And brethren, also, as one of the scribes also instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, there is need for me to take all my followers again to look into the end time message or doctrines to ensure the lambs are properly trimmed. Once again, I am Pastor Moses Alu, the overseer of the Bride Assembly Church in Lagos. Please, I invite you to join me as we take a look again at some of these doctrines with a view to properly trim our lamps in a series we will be taking titled Trimming the Lamp. Stay tuned and you will not regret being part of this session. Shalom and shalom again. Amen.
Shalom to the Bride of Christ. God bless you and welcome to our timely series, Trimming the Lamp. For a while now, we have been looking at some major doctrines of the Word of God, and we've been trimming the lamp to make sure our lamp is burning and shining bright. And I know that the Lord will definitely bless us because we are wise virgins. We are not going to miss the coming of the bridegroom. And the only way we will not miss the coming of the bridegroom is if we trim our lamps. And that is what we are here for. God bless you. You are welcome once again. And I know that the Lord will bless you. Make sure you stay tuned to the end of this broadcast. God bless you. And today we are looking at something very interesting. An interesting topic. The resurrection. The resurrection. Wow. Resurrection. Well, resurrection has always been a very controversial thing. The doctrine of resurrection has, from time immemorial, has always been a controversial doctrine. There have always been people who say there's no resurrection, or people who say resurrection is this, that. Right from time immemorial, resurrection doctrine has been a very controversial one. For instance, if we can look at Matthew chapter 22, you see the antagonists of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Sadducees. They were against this doctrine of resurrection. In fact, their own understanding is so funny. If we can take our reading from Matthew chapter 22 from verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, what do the Sadducees say concerning resurrection? These people that we call the Sadducees, these sects, this denomination, they believed that there was no resurrection. They stood before the Lord Jesus Christ, the great eternal God in human form, in the flesh, and were telling him there is no resurrection. And they were bold enough to even approach the Lord Jesus Christ with this doctrine. Now, can you see their reasoning? Master, if a man die, having no children, verse 24, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, there were with us seven brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, you, Master Jesus, you, Rabbi, in the resurrection, since you say there's resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Can you see the thinking of these funny people? And they were the religious leaders of their days. Jesus answered and said unto them, wow, the answer of our Lord Jesus is still relevant even to today. He says, ye do err. You are in error. You are making mistakes. You are in error. Why? Not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Wow. Ye do err. You Sadducees, you say there's no resurrection. You are in error because you don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Then he goes further. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when they heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Can you see it? Religious people who are supposedly serving the great God of Israel, Yahweh. Yet they were saying there is no resurrection. And according to Jewish history, the chief priests were made up largely of these Sadducees. So imagine what they believe. What would they have been teaching to the people? No resurrection, no resurrection. So Jesus himself faced this controversy in his own day. He faced it and he answered them rightly. And if we go on, these same Sadducees, they did not end in the day of Jesus. Even when Apostle Paul was doing his ministry, they still had this understanding. They still held on to this erroneous doctrine. And look at what Apostle Paul did in his own encounter with them. Acts 23 from verse 6. If you read from verse 1, you see that Paul was brought before the Sanhedrin council. They've heard of all he has been doing, preaching the name of Jesus and things like that. And now we came to Jerusalem, they apprehended him, and then the Romans came and saved him when they would have killed him. But yet, these Jews said, no, he must come before the Sanhedrin and defend himself. And when he came before them, he started talking. Now look at verse 6. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, that's the Sanhedrin council, the chief ruling council of Israel, what did he do? He cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. Hey, what is Paul doing, brethren? And when he has so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. Paul used wisdom. He was defending himself, talking, nobody was going to listen to him or give it to him. Since you don't want to hear about Jesus, now let me touch a part that you people disagree on. Then he brought the doctrine of resurrection. Two opposing views in the same council, Pharisees and Sadducees. Now what happened? Verse 8. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection. Several years after they confronted Jesus and he refuted that doctrine, told them that that doctrine is erroneous, they did not believe the words of the Lord Jesus. They still continued carrying on their error. The Pharisees said there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees do what? They confess both. The Pharisees know that there is resurrection. They know that God is the God of the living and not the God of the dead. And what happened? There arose a great cry, and the scribes that were part of the Pharisees arose and strove, saying, you see, since he agrees with all we agree, then we are one. We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against him. And there arose a great dissension. Because of the doctrine of resurrection, Paul divided a council. Can you see how serious this doctrine of resurrection is? Right from time, it has always been controversial, and even to today. Another controversy we see is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Now, these ones are not even saying that there's no resurrection. These are great apostles, great ministers of God. Apostle Emmanuel and Apostle Philetus. They did not say there's no resurrection, but they came from another angle. Can you still see the controversy? 2 Timothy 2, verse 17 and 18. And their word we eat as doth a canker, of whom is Emmanuel and Philetus, who concerning the truth have heard, saying what? Saying that the resurrection is past already. And when they say so, what happens? They overthrow the faith of some. Have you ever wondered, brethren, why so much controversy about one simple doctrine? Why do we have people that deny it? And why do we have people that come out and say that it is past already? I want to look beyond the men that are speaking. I want to look at the spirit behind them. We can trace the same spirit back to the Garden of Eden. The same spirit that, despite God spoke to Cain to do the right thing, there was a spirit inspiring him saying, no, do it this way. I see it as Satan attacking the truth. Why? Because if you say there is no resurrection, our faith is in vain. What do I mean? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 12 to 23. If you deny the doctrine of resurrection or you erroneously teach it, you misinterpret it or mispresent it like Emmanuel and Philetus, what happens?
You overthrow the faith of many. Our faith is in vain if there is no resurrection. I want you to know, brethren, that the foundation of our Christian faith is this doctrine of resurrection. Okay, before we get there, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 12 for you to know that this controversy did not start today. Now, let's read. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, can you see it? If you say that Jesus rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If you say Christ did not rise, then what happened? How can we be professing that we are saved if Christ did not rise? The Bible said he died for our offenses and he rose for our justification. If Christ did not rise from the dead, that means you and I are not justified. That means before God, we still appear as what? As sinners. Now, it is easy to say Christ died and he resurrected, but no resurrection. If you say there is no resurrection, that means Christ did not rise again. That is what the Bible says. That is what the apostle says. Let me take it again. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, I'll say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. Can you see the question Apostle Paul is asking? He must have been hearing that some people are teaching that there's nothing like resurrection. He says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ no risen? Then is Christ no risen? And if Christ be no risen, our preaching is vain, and your faith also is vain. The Christian faith is built on the doctrine of resurrection. We cannot say we have faith in Christ if he did not rise again. He says, if there's no resurrection, Christ did not rise. Our preaching is vain and our faith is what? Vain. That means there is nothing like Christianity if there is no resurrection of the dead. Wow. Can you see why Satan will do all he can to fight the true understanding of this doctrine of resurrection? Let me read on from verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found what? False witnesses of God. Why are we found false witnesses of God? Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Very simple. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is what? In vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Hey, you can't joke about this doctrine of resurrection. I want to repeat. I say the Christian faith is built on the doctrine of resurrection. Because if Christ is not raised, verse 17 says, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are falling asleep. To fall asleep here is to die physically in Christ. They are what? They are perished. Then he goes further. Verse 19, a very popular scripture that many of us love to preach, quotes rather. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have what? We have all men most miserable. If your faith in Christ doesn't include life hereafter, you have all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die. Everyone that descended from Adam will die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruit. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. So for all those who wrestle against this doctrine of resurrection, it is clear and plain from the word of God that there is resurrection from the dead. From the words of the Lord Jesus, from the words of the apostle, it is something that cannot be joked about. If there is no resurrection, our faith is in vain. Let us go back in our sins because we are yet in our sins. If there is no resurrection, that means Christ did not rise. If there is no resurrection, that means our sins were not taken away because Christ did not rise. That means we should stop all we are professing and go back and enjoy the world. If there's no resurrection, he says, and we are professing to be believers of Christ. The apostle said we are of all men, what? Most miserable. So we cannot be confused about this doctrine of resurrection. The Christian faith itself is built on the doctrine of resurrection. So all who find this doctrine, take notes, there is resurrection. In Adam, all die, in Christ, all will live. So someone will ask again, we've seen it clearly in the Bible. Is there a promise of the resurrection? Yes, we've seen it clearly. Where we just read, it is clear that there must be a resurrection. There is resurrection. If there's no resurrection, Christ is dead. Then what about we that believe in Christ? Yes, we are the ones that he is speaking to here, that the apostle is speaking to here. If we say there's no resurrection, then Christ did not rise and our faith is in vain. So yes, there is the promise of resurrection to Christians in the Bible. We'll go on a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue to dissect this interesting topic. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.